Welcome to the 2021 AFL Premiership season on AFL Nation.
Pulls it into the pocket. Cameron wants it. Cameron gets it.
To Silwood, standing start. Lash the ball toward the goal. Oh, that's a moment of inspiration from the skipper.
Charlie comes up brandishing. He doubles back from left to right and kicks one of the goals of the season.
50 from goal. Kept it alive. 48 from goal. Goes with the banana. It'll be the miracle. Oh,
tracks him. Martin's got it. He scored. He shoots. It's the stuff of legend.
Welcome to AFL Nation.
There is always a particular dynamic when the grand final pairing reconvene for the first time. But Richmond and Geelong, when they meet in round 8 tonight at the MCG, it owes a little more than just to the events of October at the Gabba. It owes to a qualifying final and a preliminary final and that grand final and a recent rivalry which is tilted heavily in the Tigers' favour. So what do the Cats do about it? Can Richmond hold them at bay yet again? It's the perfect way to start the fresh round of footy under lights on a Friday night on AFL Nation as Richmond and Geelong meet. Jared Waitley with you. Anthony Hudson's with me. Hello, Hutto.
Hello, Jared. Great to be with you and with everyone for these two teams. And again, I think I said this last week, but had a cup of coffee across the road and just took in this absolute glorious night because it is magnificent. It'll probably get a little bit cooler, but it's not like grand final day. Remember the weather on grand final day last year in Brisbane. And it's just fantastic to have these two teams going at it again, albeit both well below their best in terms of personnel, probably the Tigers a little more so. And the debate during the week about whether the Cats will play the same way and will they therefore get the same result or will they change things up? I guess only time will tell, but can't wait to see what the night delivers.
There has been all manner of theorising around it, that's for sure. Hall of Famer Jared Healy. Hello, Jared.
Good to be here, Jared, and hello to you and to Hutto. And I'll wait for you to introduce Nicholas Del Santo. But in lieu of that, good afternoon or good evening to you. Isn't it great to come to the footy with a T-shirt on? I mean, I know it's not going to last all that long. No. Probably by tomorrow we'll have to put the coat on. But it is just absolutely magnificent. Another great day.
Maybe by 7:30.
We've got to celebrate them as they come because there won't be that many more of them. This is, in my view, Jared, a game very similar to last week. I know it's the grand final replay, but we've got a side who are statistically a bit similar to the Bulldogs. They're attacking more, which we like. They're playing on more. They're going corridor more, just like the Western Bulldogs. They concede just 40 inside 50s, just like the Western Bulldogs. But all of that went to dust last week, and that's going to be the challenge, whether or not it goes to dust again tonight at the hands of Dusty himself.
Nick Del Santo, it's a good night to swing into.
A lovely night to be here. Thank you very much for having me. Really excited. And you speak about this occasion and the particular two teams going up against it. Never take for granted the ability to come back to the MCG and watch a huge game of football. And it's been a pretty good week, we must say, weather-wise. So you're sitting here in a T-shirt, so you're very comfortable with the conditions. I'm a little bit more rugged up in the back row with you. But, yeah, I mean, I still think there's so many answers that need to be, you know, that need to be had, or so many questions that need to be answered from both teams about who exactly they are. We saw the Tigers dig in last week and had that come from behind win against the Dogs, and the Cats did everything right apart from kick a winning score against the Swans. So we sit here right now still trying to work out exactly who's got the best form and which current form's the best thing going to get the result done tonight.
Driving home last week, fellas and listeners, the thing that struck me was how this group, Richmond, are staying up. And are actually, they're not like a couple of Hawthorns, just premiership, just hanging on. And it goes to, in my view, just how good they are at picking young recruits and how good they are at nourishing or rebuilding, rekindling their list at the bottom end. And you know, Jack Graham is a classic case. They picked him up at pick 52. He was the leader of his state, and he will probably, as you said, Hutto, earlier, he'll probably go in and fill Cochin's role. And he's done that a couple of times. And he's a very underrated player. And yet they've picked him up at pick 52. Their capacity to pick really good players from the depths of the draft, it is kindling this this rain. And it may just keep kindling it, if that's the right word, for another 4 to 5 years, if not longer. An amazing effort by the club.
It is, because these things are all about longevity. Once you've won three and they've had 4 years at the top, so Justin Lepich, who straight out of their coach's box, said during the week he thinks 2 to 3 years still, which would have sent a tremor through many.
Is that what Lepich said? He thinks they've got 2 to 3 more to go.
Yes. Yep.
Oh, wow. He
doesn't think they're talking premierships or years?
Not
8 years at the top.
Yeah.
So,
well, I reckon it's at least that. I mean, we were talking about Toby Nankervis earlier. I thought he must have been around 30. He's 26. Mm. Shyster Bolton. I know his parents call him, he's called Shay, but his parents, I'm told, call him Shy. But nevertheless, what a game last week. And just announced to everybody that this kid is, I mean, if there wasn't Dusty in the side, he'd be their Dusty. Mm. And yet they bring in Dusty, who's not an old bloke at all. So, I mean, the only one you can see falling off the perch at the present time is their captain. He's been around a long time, been a great servant. There's probably one or two others in
Jack,
and around the 30.
Jack as well, I suppose.
And Jack Riewoldt, yep.
But he's probably playing better footy now than he was, in the last 18 months or
Jerry,
so.
You talk about Jack Graham and the way that he's coming and the pick that they got him for, but we also can't undersell the development programs of the very best clubs. And there's no coincidence. Geelong, you look at Sydney and their sustainability, the Hawks. Is it any surprise that they get these smoky draft picks, let's call them that, the guys that aren't the first-round draft picks, and they make something of them? They give them a whole career based off the culture of a football club and the education that they get as youngsters.
We can never accurately judge, though, can we? It's
a combination.
It's the same when you look at teams that haven't been able to execute their rebuild. You go, well, were the picks wrong, or did they just not develop them right?
Well, I think it has to be a combination of both.
Yeah, I think you've got to have that inherent talent, though, to be able to be developed into a player as gifted as Graham. And Graham was, tell me if I'm wrong here, he was captain of his state.
Yes,
correct?
He was, yeah.
So Graham has got a lot of talent, and yet a lot of people have sat together and said he doesn't do this or he doesn't do that. Richmond say, but he does do this and he does do that. And they get him in and they get him to do what he does do well, even better. So, they've got a litany of these young kids that have come into their club, and they're fighting for spots to get into this premiership era.
So our pre-game show is for Beaumont Tiles bathroom packages. Choose Beaumont's. Only Beaumont Tiles have complete bathroom packages. And for Hard Yakka, and this is where we can pose some of our questions around tonight. So what are the biggest questions that sit over Geelong? As they've lost 6 of the past 7, they've lost all of the big 3 finals. What do they need out of tonight?
They need consistency. So we get to see the big 3 that they brought into the football club last year for the first time playing all together. Sean Higgins has come back after having some surgery and also having a strained calf or hamstring, I think it is,
off the top of my head.
So he also had some finger surgery during that time as well. So how do they fit in? Now, my experiences, and you might be a little bit different changing clubs, Joe, but I always felt it, well, I felt it took me about a month of football, of playing consistently with a new group of guys, to almost have that instant recognisation of where to be at what time, where do players go, and what's their unique sort of skill sets, and almost without thinking about it. So I still think this group needs some time to work out Isaac Smith, to know where Jeremy Cameron leads, when you don't have to think about it, when you're under pressure. But this also, this changing of the guard. So they've finally given up a little bit defensively, a little bit, and they're still tweaking a few people in different positions, the Cats. But you've got to give up something to get something. So we're seeing the modern game, and I say that after 7-odd weeks of scores. Feels like the ball's moving a little bit freely. Well, you can't do that if you're solely focused on defence. So they've got to change a few things. And I think they're in a transitional phase and still working through that. What's that balance? What are you prepared to give up and possibly give up in regards to scores against to maybe put a few more up the other end?
Yeah, I'm not quite sure about Geelong, whether or not they've got the capacity to match Richmond's running. I mean, they may be a good grass court player playing against Nadal. Now, they just may be, unfortunately, a side that in another era would have won 3 or 4 premierships.
So Kadinia Park's roll on Garros, is it?
It may well be. But you look at the structure of their side, I don't see the running, the hard running, gut-busting running in their team as I see in Richmond's team. And if they can play a kick-it-and-catch-it game, as they've tried to do over the last period of time, and it's let's be honest, without Dusty, it's successful. And I think that's what Chris Scott was getting to when he was saying, look, it's a lot easier to work out what they're doing, but it's a lot harder to unravel it on the ground. And, take Dusty's performance out of it, they win the grand final. Dangerfield had to play slightly better. They may have won the grand final. So, their best kick it and catch it may well be capable of beating Richmond. But if you're going to play them 10 times, I reckon it's a running game. It's a ground ball game. And I think Richmond have got so many elite runners, it's very difficult for anybody to beat them without that running power.
Can we just play that Chris Scott grab then, just to hear what he had to say about the idea of how to beat Richmond versus executing?
I think the whole competition's still trying to crack the code. I think the theory around how to play Richmond, I think, would be well understood. It's the execution that's much, much harder. They're clearly still the benchmark, even with some important players out. They've been able to show that their system stands up.
So a lot of the talk and discussion that I think you had as well, Jared, on Monday night was about the system of Richmond as well and how that's worked so they can cover players that are injured. Where do you sit on the scale of 100 or whatever, of actually what Chris said, other teams have worked out how to play them, they just can't execute, versus there's still parts they haven't worked out how to play against?
I think it's very much the Chris Scott camp. I think a lot of people come and watch Richmond, how they play, etc. But it's one thing, and I refer to a conversation I had with Ross Lyon about this, it's one thing knowing what they're doing, it's another thing competing against them. And they've got, I think for last count, they've got 6 or 7 elite sub 3 minute 5Ks or whatever the current day, you know, measuring tool is, that they just go to work. And according to Ross Lyon, a chat I had with him, until somebody equalises that running capacity, you're going to have to be absolutely perfect at everything else.
How much of that running game do you think is their style, though? So I look at Geelong, and my take would be everyone is roughly the same fitness. Everyone has roughly the same amount of variety in their group with power runners, speed, outside runners. So I think everyone's within the same sort of sphere of what they can physically do. Does the Tigers' game style, in your opinion, suit that style of players more than anybody else? Because I'd say Geelong could do all that if they had the same game style.
Do you think?
They don't play that style. West Coast are a kick mark team. They don't play that style.
Your former coach didn't think so. He said he had the numbers that this group, the Tigers, have got this incredible group of elite runners that go to work when it really counts and others can't go with them. Now, I look at Geelong and I think, you know, they've got Guthrie and Dangerfield. They all run hard, but have they got as many Meningolas? I know they've got enough, but have they got enough against the very best, who seem to have more than enough? And just the way they moved blokes from the wing inside last week to unravel a side who've got amazing running power was, you know, quite instructive.
Can we just go into the rooms at halftime from the grand final and hear from both coaches, as was on the AFL website, the Sound the Alarm sort of mini documentary, if you like, which is fascinating viewing to hear the overload with both coaches. And we saw it as part of the Damien Hardwick was as part of the broader documentary, of course, which we saw on
Amazon.
I sound like my father or someone. With apologies to Dad, let's have a listen to the halftime speech from both coaches.
We're in a street fight, there's no doubt about that, yeah? That's the reality of an AFL grand final. We've been in this situation before. We know exactly what it's like.
Head of the ball, we look really good. They're even getting ball trapped into the ruck a bit. So Asprey Hawk is a great matchup for us. If we can take those deep entries, let's take it. If we can't get it deep, just getting it to grass is really good.
Our system, though, has been average. But in reality, it's related to our offence. There's two things that's related to. First of all, our ability to set the ground up. Our forwards, we're too far away. Okay, so we've got to get up the ground.
Like, we put up the roadblock so well on their forward handball, okay, but we know they're going to go for it.
So what's the strength of our mids and backs? Run and carry, work rate, okay? We have to support the attack, okay? Our forwards have to remain engaged, because what they're doing is they're just maintaining back six and we're kicking to them.
They're shitting themselves around the stoppage and the contest situation, okay? So we've got to double down on that.
We are playing a good side. There is no doubt about that, but you're a great side.
So we're going to play our game, and it is contest versus chaos.
And that has been a theme for a long time. They have each other so well scouted that it did. It's execution, and Geelong execute really well in the first half, and Richmond execute excellently in the second half. And when the sums are done, Richmond win the flag. I just thought it was, and maybe it's the way it's cut because you do get to, but the number of times they're able to put one coach saying something which is immediately mirrored by the other. Bang, 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 bang.
Really telling. Geelong are going to go down the, you hear Chris Scott say, we're going to go straight down the middle from now. And he gets on the phone to Joel Salwood, and then in the Richmond box, they're going to go straight down the middle from now. Let's tell Ashbury to get there and get ready for it.
Well, that's why I think there's so much information that needs to be, A, collected, B, transformed into a message for the coach. It says to me that it would have been borderline impossible for John Longmire to coach tomorrow when he comes down without his assistant coaches. I mean, it is such a scientific model now inside these coaches' boxes, even though sometimes when you hear the messages, they're pretty straight and they're pretty bland. But don't forget, these guys have heard this message a million times, so it's just reinforcing what may well be going off slightly. Like, coming into tonight, you suspect that Geelong are going to try and do a combination of what Melbourne did, and if that's not working, if the handball game's not on, then you go back to do what Sydney did. But conversely, Richmond know that that's what they're going to try to do. And Vlosten comes in, they lose Grimes, so they've got their general there across half back line. Can Bolter step up, or does Broad step up and become the general across the full back line?
While we listen to that, I instantly think how simplistic it is, and I don't think it gives enough credit to the complexity of what these coaches are going through. But make no mistake, those coaches would have gone through hours and hours of footage, of reviewing, and how to present those particular messages to their playing group. The players as a group would have gone through hours of meetings, 2 to 3, maybe 4 hours each week of what they have to execute and the tactical stuff that we don't get to actually hear.
And so I'm when sure you some listen, of it was left out
and,
too.
But when you listen to it, you go, well, that's pretty simple. Like, my mum would call me and say, I thought there was a little bit more in the modern game. The players know what those messages are. So something as simple as saying, let's go down the middle, that triggers a response from the defence. Yeah. They know that means, well, we don't need to spread to the wings. All we do is a sacrificial act, knowing that it creates pockets of space through the middle. There's a lot of work that's gone behind message like that.
But ultimately what separated the two sides was one person, Dusty. Now, last week, and I heard Craig Jennings talk about this during the week with you, Jared, but last week Michael Hibbert did a pretty good job when he was playing defence. Big body. And, you know, Geelong had a system going last year in the grand final, but it was always, in my view, they didn't have the perfect man, or at least they didn't pick the perfect man. I think it was Kolodashny for a fair period of time.
Both he and O'Connor are out tonight, which is a shame.
Well, I look at this and I think to myself, if I'm having a crack at somebody who can go with him in the middle and in defence, I struggle to find the right person. It may be Buse, but I don't think it's Buse. I would go with Tui. He's a big body. He's a strong man. He can play in the middle. He's not going to get lost at centre bounces. And he's played a lot of footy in defence. So that would be
Could he still do it now, I guess?
Well, I think it's pretty easy to tag a bloke who's not a hard runner. Dusty's the one bloke who's not a hard runner.
Yep.
He runs from the centre bounce to go forward.
Yep. But I think what we saw from the Hibbert example, we did that game a couple of weeks ago, was Hibbert waited for him.
Mm.
And I think it was someone from Reece Conker, an ex-teammate of his, did it really well last year or the year before. So Hibbert waited for him off the halfback, ultimately knowing that it's just the old-fashioned swap. The midfielder goes to the forward line comes up. So he simply just swapped over, allowed the mid to come up. He picks Dusty as the fake forward, and then they just carried on as it was. I wouldn't be shocked if more teams trialled that, particularly Geelong, knowing, as you've mentioned, without Dusty last year, it's a different result in that grand final. So why not try and nullify, minimise one of the best players in the competition?